The Bible warns us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
I want to know, is there anybody up in here still believe God is able, even though it don't look good right now?
No matter how much he's trying to attack you, you cannot back down, cave in, or quit.
Your butt might have looked like it been kicked, and it looked like you left the place with your tail between your legs, but it is a new season.
We have power over any traps the devil is trying to set.
Always gotta defend myself. Always gotta handle business. Always gotta protect myself. God said, get him. Get him for your mama. Get him for your sister. Get him for your family. Get that devil. Let him know who your people is.
Order this CD-DVD combo today. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info.
Today's message is Divine Connections and Covenant Relationships by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Matthew 19 and verse 6. And it says, wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. Would you read the next part with me? What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, this is in red, so we know Jesus is speaking. The context is about marriage, about the marriage relationship between a man and a woman who gets married. Everybody say man and a woman who gets married. Now, I know we have all kinds of marriages today that are being that has become legal in various states. Glory to God. However, when the Bible speaks of marriage, the Bible speaks of a man and a woman. The Bible says in verse 5, for this cause shall a man leave his father and cleave to his wife. The man is the husband, the wife, the woman is the woman. The woman is the wife. The man is the husband, the woman is the wife. Y'all see that? So that's what God has in mind. And the Bible says, when this happens, they are no more twain. When you get married, he says, is more that takes place than just a legal signing of a document. It's more than legalities. It's covenant. It's more than legalities. You become one. And that's a process. That's a process. I've been married 28 years. Pastor Marshall and I, we are still becoming one. Every day we're still becoming one. We're still, because she still has some thoughts that don't line up with mine. So she's trying to become one with me. Y'all pray for her. It won't be long now. She's going to think just like me. Amen. But in the meantime, we're in the process. We're still in the process of becoming one. But in the realm of the spirit, it takes place at the moment you make those vows before God and these witnesses. Now, that even the whole marriage ceremony, it's a serious thing, y'all. That's why, you know, in a traditional ceremony, they tell you it should not be done taken lightly or done unadvisedly. In other words, you need to get some insight and some counseling or some instruction from somebody who knows what this is like. Because I'm telling you, if you've never been married, it's nothing like you think it is. Come on, all the married folks, can y'all agree? I mean, everything, whatever you fantasized about, there's some of that. You understand what I'm saying? When you get married, you say, you know, when you get married, you say, yeah, man, when I get married, can I just be real with y'all, you know? You know what I'm saying? I was a Christian and everything. I was Christian, you know. See, like, man, when I get married, I'm going to have sex every night. For a little while. Then you realize two people got to make this choice. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got all this stuff. What you going to do? You know, when I get mad, my wife going to cook bread for me every morning. You know, women, my husband going to take care of me. And I'm only going to work if I want to work. That's ideal. But that's not everybody's situation. You understand what I'm saying? And so you need somebody who knows the reality, the soberness. You got to think, the Bible says you got to think sober. You can't think with your feelings. You got to think sober. And so because it's a serious thing, he says that you become one. And that's why, and this is a passing point, but I need to make it because you need to know my thought on this. My thought on this is that I don't care how much you love each other, how much you don't want no drama from your family. You don't go to just a justice of the peace when you get married as a Christian. You need to go to a man or woman of God who has the blessing of God on their life, who can speak that blessing and transfer that blessing into your life. I don't care what he say because he don't like your pastor. I don't care what he say because you know and he know if I really know what he's really like, I'm going to tell you not to marry him. So let's go down to the justice of the peace. I want to listen. No, man, we love each other, right? That's all that man, what no man say. You know, I mean, who is he anyway? He ain't God. He ain't God. You know, it's a man. Well, you need to meet my pastor. Why I need to meet your pastor? And he ain't God. I mean, see, you can't be worshiping no man, see? He's just a man. He put his pants on just like I do. See, you elevating a man too much. I know the game. I know the story. Okay? Even recently, when Pastor Marcy and I, the last several years, and every now and then, sometimes, look, I'm forgetting in the ceremony because it's not in our book that we use. See, Pastor Marcy will nudge me and say, you've got to lay hands on him. So what we do now, we make sure that we not only go through the ceremony and pray the prayers that's in the book and all that and read the scripture, but that we lay hands. I lay hands on the man as the husband and pray that as he steps into this new, watch this, the same thing that I do when I lay hands on a pastor to operate in this new office as a pastor. There needs to be the anointing to be the pastor. There needs to be a grace to be the pastor. Well, come on. You think you don't think you need grace and anointing to be a husband? Especially if you ain't never seen one. Especially, come on now. I mean, thank God. Things are getting better. But a lot of us, we haven't had good examples. Some of us didn't have fathers at all. And some of us, if we did have a father, some of us had bad examples. And for those of you, and there's a couple I can look around the church here who I know are second generations in this church and third generation. Some of y'all have good examples, and thank God that you did. But that's not the case with all of us. My son, who's in law school, he's in D.C. He called me up and said, Dad, I got to go to D.C. I'll be in D.C. from Thursday to Tuesday. He said, well, maybe you can come up and spend a day with me. I said, all right. I was looking at online and went out could take a flight up there. And then he texted me. He said, Dad, this workshop and this seminar I'm going to be in, it's going to be like all day. He said, well, so I'm really going to be busy. Maybe we have time for breakfast. I said, boy, I ain't got it like that. I ain't flying up to D.C. to have no breakfast with you. Wait a minute, really? He said, I'm busy, you know, but maybe you can fly. We have breakfast. I mean, come on now. You know, and so, but I called him last day around 10 o'clock. I FaceTimed him, and he was already asleep. I said, why is he? He said, Dad, because like I told you, this thing been straight out. He said, it's good information. It's mainly for African-American men who are going into the law field. He said, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to go. He said, but everything that they're telling me, you taught me. He said, a lot of stuff, he said, that, you know, they're telling them how to conduct yourself as a man. They're telling you, you know, how to manage your finances. He said, all this stuff, either you taught me or I can just pick you up on the phone and get your counsel on it. And so he thought it was a waste. I said, but son, I said, that's all right. I said, it's just reinforcing to you. I said, but there's a whole lot of them out there who still need that. Because a lot of us, we didn't have the best example. And now you're going to jump into, because what's supposed to happen in families, can I explain to you what's supposed to happen in the family? What's supposed to happen in the family is that you're being mentored as a boy how to be a man. You're being mentored as a boy by a husband how to be a husband. You're being mentored as a girl how to be a woman. You're being mentored as a girl how to become a wife. Now, if that ain't right to begin with, you don't have the proper mentoring. And so we go into this stumbling. Some of us never saw a loving, nurturing relationship. And so it looks awkward to you to hug and kiss. It's awkward for you to hold hands. But by seeing that, I mean, I grew up seeing that, you know, but Bishop Bailey, again, it wasn't my parents, Bishop Bailey and Mother Bailey. They were my example. She would be washing dishes. He'd walk up there behind her and say, "Oh, you don't need to cook. All I need is this." Yeah, so I grew up seeing that kind of stuff as a little boy. He would look across the town, "Girl, I'm going to put something on you tonight," that kind of thing, you know. Yeah, so I got very comfortable seeing couples interact, and my kids to this day, Chandler said he don't like coming to Marriage Enrichment. I know you have a hard time thinking about your parents having relations, but they did. That's how you got here. Look, somebody tell me, your mom ain't no virgin. I know you think she is clean as the driven snow, but the fact that you here is proof that she's not. But you're supposed to see the model in the home, and then two become one flesh. And when God talks about covenant throughout the Bible, when the Bible talks about covenant, he talks about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He talks about Jesus' relationship with the church. It talks about that we're one with God. And he always goes back to this analogy of the marriage. When God talks about covenant, he thinks in terms of marriage. When God talks about covenant, he thinks in terms of marriage. I was studying last night from 1 Samuel about 4 or 5 chapters about David and Jonathan's relationship. And at least 3 times it says that Jonathan loved David as he did his own soul. Another translation, as he loved himself. Now, we really have a problem with that as men. And that's why there are people who want the pro-homosexual agenda. They want to try to refer to David and Jonathan's relationship in the Bible to try to justify homosexuality relationship. That's because it's hard for us to think of heterosexual men about having that kind of love. And the Bible says that Jonathan loved David as he did his own self. Which is what Paul talks about in Ephesians 5, that a man ought to love his wife, how? Like he loves his own body, as he loves his own self. And we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So when God talks about covenant, he talks about marriage. And when he talks about marriage, he talks about covenant. And I'm about to give you the subject already. The subject of this message is divine connections and covenant relationships. Divine connections and covenant relationships. And so the part I really want to move on and emphasize to you from Matthew 19 and 6, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. He's talking about marriage, but now he generalizes it to whatever relationships that God puts together. What therefore God has put together, let no man put asunder. Asunder means to divide or to separate or cause to be broken. Are y'all with me here? And so it says that there are some things that God joins together. There are some people that God's joined together. And then when we think of it in marriage, we only think about that this means I can't get divorced because I'm not supposed to let any man put asunder. But what it's really saying here, let no man put asunder. He's saying, don't you let anybody come between you and the person God has joined you to. Now, let me just get real practical. That may be That's definitely in marriage, but it may be your church. It may be your pastor. It may be your assignment on a job. It could be, okay? It could be your assignment in your occupation or your vocation. What God is doing, he said, don't you let anybody externally, watch this, who does not have the passion you have, who does not understand the nature of this relationship, who did not get a rhema word that this is where I'm supposed to be and that's the person I'm supposed to be with. Don't you let anybody who don't understand that cause you to separate from what God has joined together. We often tell people that when we ask you, when you come in to get married, you know, and you can fake it if you want. It's all right. It's your marriage. Because we're at the place, and Pastor Mark's going to tell you, I used to get all bent out of shape. I would lose sleep over who y'all getting ready to marry. And Pastor Mark said, listen, these folks are grown. Stop carrying the weight of this. Okay, but the biggest problem was, I know you're going to be back in my office. And I keep telling you, I don't want you. I got more than enough. She's all the woman I need. I need vitamins. And she tells me, every now and then she tells me, you know what, you need to exercise. What you be trying to say? Don't want you. Got all I can handle. But I want God's best for you. I said, I want God's best for you. And I was at a meeting years ago. Pastor Dwayne was with me. And Bishop Jake started prophesying. The message it just shifted. And he started prophesying and just speaking by the Spirit of God. He said, there's some of you pastors here, you've been asking God, God, why do you give me this heart? And I got messed up, flat messed up. I'm crying. I can't get myself together. I'm like, yes, Jesus, oh God. Oh, God. And I thought maybe Pastor Wayne was going to put his hand on my shoulder or something. He probably like, what's up with my pastor? I mean, I'm just messed up. And it's like, watch this. There's hundreds of pastors there, but like he was talking right to me. He says, and you keep getting hurt. And you keep saying, I ain't going to love no more. I ain't going to open up my heart no more. He said, you know, your wife tried to count you this way and this one tried. He said, but you got to be who God tells you to be. And yes, to pastor, you've got to be willing to be hurt. I'm like, yeah. God. And y'all have been deserving like that. And you know, God talking to you. And I've asked God, I said, God, why I got to care so much? I don't live with these folks, but I want God's best for you. And I've been living long enough. My daughter, glory to God, any relationship I ever told her about that wasn't going to be right. She wanted me to say something different, you know. Young man just came and introduced her, shook her hand, that's all to it. And she called me after I was riding home. She said, Dad, did the Lord tell you anything when you shook his hand? I'm glad she asked. I said, no, the Lord didn't tell me nothing. I said, but I can tell you this here. I said, he's better than that last one, I can tell you that. He's more genuine, more sincere, you know, and all that. But it's just the fact that she would honor me enough to allow me to speak into life because she knows I want God's best for her. Well, God is joining. God doesn't want you to let anybody come between who God is joining together. What I was saying there was that when you get married, you need to be able to say, God joined us together. Not money's joining us together. Not, well, I've been waiting on this train a long time. Look like this the last one pulling out the station. Because I'm 52 now. I just felt a rebuke on that. From a single sister, said that the devil is a liar. Okay. I'm 40. And so, well, looks like I'm getting old. Looks like maybe this the one. Let me go back on Facebook and find that guy in high school who's so crazy about me. Maybe he's still available. Now you go back, you're trying to get out the leftovers. Because you become dead. You need to be able to say, God did this. The reason why you need to be able to say God did this, because stuff's gonna happen. Yes. The money can get funny. You know, when you're so in love, man, you spend so much time kissing them, you don't even know their breath stink. Then all of a sudden, you ain't kissing no more. You're like, does your breath always smell like this? The eyes of your understanding become enlightened. And you're like, what have I done? And listen, I don't care the best of marriage. Anybody been married, I can tell you, the Bible says, having done all to stand against the evil day. The evil day is the day when you say, what in the world did I do this for? That's the evil day. Anybody ever have the evil day? The evil day is when you start talking about, well, I got to ask her anyway. This is my money. I buy what I want to buy. Well, I got to tell her, get her proof on my car. I make the money. You say that to yourself in the bathroom looking in the mirror. Wife, somebody, I make more money than him anyway. Why I got to get, submit? Submit. What he need me doing is submitting to me. I'm the one carrying stuff around here. I don't really need him anyway. Okay, you're going through all this stuff. That's the evil day. The evil day is when you long to be back in college again. The evil day, the day when you wish I didn't have children, at least not with her.
or him.
I'm just being real. I'm talking about the thoughts that come through your mind. And when all that stuff starts happening and circumstance and life hits you, you got to know God joined me to her. God joined me to him. And ideally, that God joined it, that needs to be a rhema word from God. Because nobody else heard it. Nobody else saw it. Nobody had that enlightenment in their heart like you did. And you got to know God put us together. Now, if you can understand that about marriage, you can understand that about any relationship that God joined. Because it's critical you recognize and categorize relationships. I'll come up with four basic kind of relationships. Number one, there's an accidental relationship. Accidental relationship is just that. It's a relationship that happened by accident. It's like you literally bump into each other in the path of life. You saw each other at the supermarket, you know. You pull into a parking space, and they were pulling into a parking space too. You saw them at a meeting. And then what happens, y'all, you can become real desperate, and you think just an accidental, or the next one is an incidental relationship, is supposed to become something more than that. Especially if you're desperate. You're desperate, anybody you meet, Lord, is this the one? Maybe that's my husband. Maybe that's my wife. No, it can just be an accidental relationship. Incidental relationships is number two. You just work together. You take a class together. It's just incidental. Y'all love Starbucks. You get a caramel macchiato. They get a low-fat white mocha. And y'all go to work at the same time. So you meet there every day. That don't mean that's your soulmate. It's incidental to the coffee. And it doesn't go beyond that. It doesn't need to go beyond that necessarily. Number three, then what I call the intentional relationship. These are ones that you focus on, that you deliberately go after, and you try to have more, and you try to keep, and you want to make it work. It's intentional. When it's an intentional relationship, if you ain't seen somebody, you call them. If it's an intentional relationship, you notice if they're not there. You're concerned about each other. It's an intentional relationship. But then, let's go a little bit deeper. Then there are what I call divine connections and covenant relationships. One of the same, divine connections. And these are divine relationships, associations, and connections. Listen to this, which is arranged by God. Everybody say, God did this thing. Which are arranged by God to cause you to walk in purpose and fulfill destiny. It's put together by God. And what God has joined together, you let no one put asunder. So you may lose the job and you ain't working together anymore. But if it's an intentional, or rather if it's a divine connection, that it wasn't based on the job. If it's a divine relationship, a divine connection, it wasn't merely incidental to the fact that we go to the same church. We are covenant brothers even beyond the church. See, I don't understand this. I don't mean to harm y'all, but I didn't see this as much north as I see it down south here. Is that just because somebody leave a church, you can't ever come back and visit anymore? And you come on now. Like, what's up with that? You can't ever talk to each other. Now, I understand that they mad with me and you can't talk. You mentioned Herbert Bailey, they get mad and all. That's so fine. That means you can't talk about your pastor. You can't talk about your church. But it doesn't mean you can't talk. Are y'all hearing me? And just because people go to different churches, it doesn't mean that you still can't have relationships with people. You got to avoid each other in Walmart. Oh, Lord, they go to different church now, Jesus. You look like you're crazy. So you can still see them and say, hey, how's your mama? How's your kids? How's so-and-so? You don't have to talk about church. Don't mean that relationship. And watch this. And I keep saying this. Even when there's a separation, it don't have to be a tear. It doesn't have to be a tear. I have a cousin who got divorced a few years ago. And I can't remember how many years he divorced. But I kept saying, aren't you divorced? Aren't you divorced? Every time we had a family funeral, a family reunion, he would show up with her. I said, y'all together? No. I said, no, we ain't together. But she heard so-and-so. So she just came with me. And he said, man, we've met all these years. They're still friends. They got grown children together. So they're still friends. And now most recently I've seen them with a girlfriend or something recently. And know who she looked just like? The first wife. Now, that was intentional. Because if I described it, he had to go looking specifically for this, but it's something about that relationship that he didn't want that to be a tear. I'll be honest with you, I don't have a plan to go through it. Okay. But when I see these bitter divorces, you've been together all these years, you raised kids together, and now you're trying to destroy each other. I don't believe it has to be all that. And now you use your children to get back at each other. Because watch it, even if you don't want him as a husband, the child still deserves a father. And even if you don't want him as a wife, the child still deserves a mother. And a child deserves to be a child without getting caught up in all y'all's drama.
Every covenant relationship will be tested, whether it's a marital relationship, parent and child, or even a spiritual relationship. While God honors and respects covenant, the enemy will do anything to destroy divine connections. Learn how to recognize and preserve the divine connection God has placed in your life. Order this powerful message on CD or DVD. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or order online at rightdirection.info. Ask for divine connections and covenant relationships.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. If you have been blessed by this broadcast, please email or send a letter sharing your testimony. Email us at praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. We'd love to partner with you in taking the Word of God to places where it's rare and precious. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, call us in Columbia at 803-798-1230 or in Orangeburg at 803-531-7322 or toll free at 877-798-5433. You may also visit us on the web at rightdirection.info. Continue to listen to that still small voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it."